All right, coming down in 3, 2, 1. This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Welcome to the September edition of WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. Today we're going to talk Michigan energy policy, and we have a distinguished panel for you. Lisa Wozniak is the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and our regular commentator for this monthly feature. And good morning to you, Lisa.
Good morning, David.
Also joining us this morning is the Democratic 53rd State House District Representative. Jeff Irwin of Ann Arbor is here, and good morning to you.
Good morning, David.
And finally, we have Renz Hoeksema. And Mr. Hoeksema is Vice President of Government Affairs for DTE Energy, and we thank you for coming in today as well.
Great. Good morning.
Energy policy. It's languished in Lansing for quite some time now. The renewable portfolio standard of 10% generated energy from renewable sources has been met, and we've been talking about policy ever since. In mid-2015, Michigan Republican Senators Mike Knopfs and John Preuss introduced a proposal for a new energy standard. It was met with support from Michigan's utility companies to most degrees and opposition from environmental groups throughout the state. And it would seem there remains a major divide among our elected officials in Lansing as well. Mr. Irwin, let's start here. What is the holdup?
Well, I think there's a few holdups. I mean, there's obviously issues of price and reliability, and there's also these issues of the environment. Are we going to invest in a clean energy future? So what I think is holding us up now is that back in 2008, there was a grand compromise that was really met between the utilities and the public and the legislature and the environmentalists and everyone who's interested in this to move forward on clean energy cautiously, to move forward on energy efficiency. And that compromise we haven't been able to reach yet this cycle. I think one of the differences is that back in 2008, we had a Democratic governor, a Democratic House, and a Republican Senate. And that forced conversations to happen in a very real way. As it is right now, those kinds of conversations about compromise aren't really happening.
And Mr. Hoeksema, obviously, you would like to see new energy policy put in place so the utility can move forward. What about the Knopfs plan do you like?
Well, there are a couple of aspects about the Knopfs plan that we support. One relates to the regulation of utility service in the state. 90% of the electric service in the state is regulated. 10% is not. A key aspect of his plan looking forward as the existing infrastructure changes and plants are retired, coal plants are retired, would ensure that all of the providers of electricity have to be responsible for reliability. I think that is absolutely important. To the extent that any players are not focused on reliability, it creates vulnerability for everybody on the grid. So that's a key aspect. The other aspect of the legislation that he features is what's called this Integrated Resource Planning Process, or IRP as some refer to it, which we think is important because as we begin to make these investments in new generation facilities, it's an opportunity to have a conversation with different stakeholder groups about the sorts of investments we're making, what the environmental implications of that will be, at the same time describe how we're focused on energy efficiency and other programs to help manage energy, manage the affordability, and ensure that we have sort of broad stakeholder support. That type of activity has taken place in a more micro setting. For example, over in Holland, Michigan, they're very engaged. Currently in Lansing, Michigan, there's been an active engagement there as they look at how they're going to transition. So we think that that's important, and it's important to have that kind of public dialogue.
One of the things that the Knopf plan lacks is an increase in the renewable portfolio standard for renewable energy. We've met the 10% standard now. Lisa Wozniak, I know that that is something that you feel is vitally important to any new energy policy standard.
Yes, we've been engaged in this conversation for 4 years now, and we think it's very important that we continue to build on the success of the 2008 law. The package that we're looking at in the Senate right now, instead of building upon the success of our 2008 law, actually erodes Michigan's current clean energy standard, the 10% standard, and works to phase out the energy efficiency standard by 2019. It also speaks to a goal, and I put quotes around the word goal, instead of a standard. And what that lacks is any kind of assurances or accountability that we're going to actually meet that goal. So, you know, in an era where we're actually looking at desire to have more government accountability, more personal accountability, we also think that it's important that our energy providers have some accountability to meeting these goals that we set.
And let's be clear, this renewable portfolio standard was a huge success. Back in 2008, I think a lot of people had cold feet. They thought maybe it was going to be too expensive. But what we've seen as a result of this renewable portfolio standard was that we easily met the 10%. The power came online cheaper than anybody expected. And we've grown our economy by bringing manufacturing jobs here, the building of these wind turbines. You've got farmers that are getting a check every month from these turbines on their land. Renewable energy has been a big success for Michigan, and investing more in it will only be a bigger success because we're not a center of oil and gas development. We're not a big coal seam. We need to find a way to be self-sufficient and independent here in Michigan. Renewable energy is a great way to go.
To be fair, DTE Energy is continuing to invest in renewable energy and has done so and has a plan to do so moving forward. But, Mr. Hoeksema, why not agree to a higher standard, a 25 or 30% renewable energy standard right now?
Well, the aspect of that is really the transition and the transformation that's taking place. We have said publicly and continue to say publicly, and we're doing it, that we intend to invest in more renewable energy. We see as we look ahead, and we do expect that there will be future carbon regulation, that as we retire our coal facilities, move to more baseload facilities that are fueled by natural gas, and twin that with some added investment in renewable energy, that we're going to see a significant reduction in carbon. We've already seen a 16% reduction in carbon emissions since 2005. I think by the time we look out to 2040, we think it's quite realistic to be past 50% reduction in carbon from our sources. The challenge that we have to balance here is that to the extent that we establish sort of a mandate or specific timetables and schedules, as some have proposed, sort of an annual percentage, it doesn't dovetail with the activities that we have to have underway as we retire plants and plan for baseload reliability. So the goal does provide some accountability. It will require through the IRP that we have to be accountable to how we're going to achieve that goal. There will be regular reporting requirements, but it does provide greater flexibility. So going forward, you might see the investments, I mean, a characterization might be, it might be a little lumpier on the timing, but we do expect that we're going to continue to see progress. It's not our intent to go back on either the investments that we've made or the commitment to make investments in the future.
You are listening to WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. Our panelists today are Lisa Wozniak of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, State Representative Jeff Irwin of Ann Arbor, and DTE Energy Vice President of Government Affairs, Rems Hoeksema. And where are we finding common ground? I've listened to all three of you talk a little bit this morning, and it sounds like there is some, but there's also some disparity. Where is the common ground from which we can build?
I see a couple obvious areas of common ground. One, you know, I think that people in Michigan, even environmentalists like myself, want to be partners with DTE. They're the hometown energy utility. We know that they're doing a number of things to change their operations and to be a cleaner, leaner operation going forward that can be better for our state. So there's that. There is that partnership. They're the hometown team. And that's important to mention. The other thing is there's the issue of energy efficiency. There's an issue where the utility and the public interest have actually worked together to drive an energy efficiency standard for many years. I hope that we can continue to have a standard in the law rather than a squishier approach. But so far, that effort has gone well, and there has been compromise on certainly both sides of the aisle that we need to save energy because that saves money, and wasting energy isn't in anyone's interest.
And Lisa, in your conversations with members of the utilities, where are you finding common ground that you can build on?
I would agree with Representative Irwin I think the energy efficiency piece of this is a place where there's a lot of common ground. I also would say that from Michigan League of Conservation Voters' perspective, I mean, we're in this issue for three key reasons. One is, first and foremost, human health. I mean, the emissions that are coming from coal-fired power plants really have an impact on our water and on our changing climate. So it's environmental health as well. It has an impact on as I mentioned, the human health aspect is, you know, the breathing issues, the lung issues, and then also the cost to the consumer. And I think that, as Jeff pointed out, I mean, this is our hometown utility. I believe that DTE has all of those things in mind as we're looking at this. They're also a business that needs to be successful into the future. They're looking at coal costs that are getting higher and higher, and knowing that their investments in renewables actually make good common sense as we move forward. I think the sticky point really is the standard piece. I mean, whether or not we can actually put something in place that has a little bit more teeth moving forward.
Is there any circumstance, Mr. Hoeksema, under which DTE Energy would agree to a regulated standard again?
There may be a circumstance under which we would, yes. I'm not throwing that out. These conversations and discussions are taking place. Currently up in Lansing, I think I would agree with the comments that are made. I think that there is a lot of agreement. I think we have a shared interest on the environment and environmental performance and improvement. Our employees live in the communities that they serve and have a concern. We've made significant investments to improve the environmental output of our power plants. We see that as we retire power plants over time in the future, the environmental progress that we've made is just going to continue to enhance. We support investments in renewable technology. We've seen improvements in the capability and performance, and we do intend to do more. I do think it comes down sometimes to a perspective of timing. I don't disagree with Lisa's concerns over being concerned about health and the well-being and the environment. At the same time, as a company, we're very much involved in discussions in Washington with the Environmental Protection Agency as they establish standards around the environment, which we're in compliance with. They take health effects into account. We work that into how we manage and plan and make adjustments at our facilities to meet
those. Are you lobbying against more stringent requirements?
We're not lobbying against more stringent requirements. Actually, as we have discussions, this is the kind of stuff that, you know, we talk about sort of what takes place sort of behind the doors. What we've seen in the past is a process where you can have environmental regulations that are not consistent with each other. And that's not because maybe anybody has an agenda. It's the way the process can work. So we've pushed for a number of years for a process where we can look more holistically at the kind of performance and the standards that we want, plan in that manner, and that way that first dollar invested can help achieve the overall goal that we establish for ourselves and may not be negatively or adversely affected by another regulation that comes out that might have us in a different direction. So I think that there is more alignment than disalignment on where we're going. I think when you get into regulation and you get into legislation and certain things start to get really hardwired, you can get into issues of affordability, performance, reliability. There are other things that come in that may sound like they're arguments against. They're just things that we're trying to manage because of the effect they can have on the system as well as on our customers.
When we look to this legislation moving forward in Lansing, we're looking at a very short segment of time in the fall in which this is going to be debated. It's an election year, and many are very skeptical as to whether or not this is actually going to move in the coming months, September, October, and many predict this may end up in lame duck. I tend to think that the lame duck session is a very detrimental place to move anything forward. The citizens of Michigan are often not watching at all. We're heading into it's post-election. People feel like they've done their duty. They've gone and they've voted. They've cast their vote. And they are looking at the holiday season, and they're not thinking about Lansing at all. So I would love to hear from the two gentlemen here at the table as to where we think this is going this fall, and whether or not we'll have anything of success before we hit 2017.
Well, logically, Jeff Irwin, that question should go to you first.
Well, I think Lisa's absolutely right. This is unlikely to be dealt with before the election, and I think there's going to be a heavy press to deal with it during lame duck when transparency is at a minimum and accountability is at a minimum. That is, I think, damaging to the public interest. We've seen a lot of things happen during lame duck that seemed like they happened because legislators were thinking about their next job rather than their current job. So that is a scary prospect to me, frankly. And I think that when we see what happens in the results in the November election, that's going to give us a good indication to just how frantic the current majority is to get something done before they have to leave town. If, in other words, just to be clear about it, if Democrats make big gains, say, for instance, take back the state house, I think that there's going to be a real rush to get this done before more circumspect voices come to town.
Conversely, if the Democrats do not take back the state house, and we're looking at, again, at an entirely Republican legislative body in Lansing, is it just easier to put it off and start all over again next year?
I think that may happen, but I think there's going to be a strong impetus to get it done this year. I think that there's going to be a big push from the utilities and from the whole regulated industry to say we need to get this done. We need some certainty. We need a plan for the next 10 years. I think that's absolutely true. But I have to say that just as one member of the legislature who's there trying to look out for the public interest, the idea that we would do a policy this important that's going to have this big of an impact on our economy and our environment during lame duck, I think that that's not the right time to do it, and that the legislature should probably cool its jets and wait till next year and have the kind of long, detailed, reasoned conversation that we need to have and that should have been happening over the course of the last 2 years.
And Mr. Hoeksema, I think you do believe it's going to get done.
Well, we don't sit in the legislature and vote, so let's just say that we hope it gets done. But I think that there is a lot of interest to get it resolved. The Senate may act during the session that's upcoming in September. I tend to agree here. I think that more than likely, though, this moves to a lame duck for review. One aspect of this, I mean, we've talked a bit here about environmental policy, and another key aspect of the legislation, however, deals with reliability going forward. We have power plants shutting down here in Michigan. We have power plants shutting down in the Midwest. An organization that we refer to as MISO, and I know that's kind of jargon, but it's a system operator that looks at reliability in Michigan and elsewhere, has already raised concerns that by 2018 the state could be short of the power that's needed to ensure overall reliability. A key part of that is that alternative energy providers, and by that I'm not talking about environmental providers, but electric service providers, have not made investments in power in the state to serve their customers. There is one entity that represents 5% of the power to the state. They serve the schools, and they've made no investment in Michigan whatsoever to produce power. So that's a critical issue for reliability that doesn't just affect the customers they serve, but affects other businesses and manufacturers and the reliability they can expect. We came very close already this summer to periods where we have to call customers to cut back on their power or discontinue their business activities to keep the grid stable. We're going to be making investments, but we feel it's important that all the suppliers in the state take on their proportionate responsibility to make that investment. That's a key part of the legislation. We don't support seeing that be delayed.
And Jeff Irwin?
I was just going to add that one other key part of the legislation that plays into the concerns of many of my constituents is whether or not citizens are going to have the freedom to create energy on site and plug that into the grid and get a fair price for it. There's a lot of people in Washtenaw County. There's a lot of people across the state of Michigan who've invested in solar panels or other energy generation devices. And the legislation that is currently in the Senate would really make those investments no longer economically viable. It would kill the solar installation industry in Michigan. It would kill a lot of jobs here in Michigan. And it would really take away an avenue for investment for businesses and homeowners that want to invest in our energy future, that want to diversify and make our energy future more resilient and clean. But this energy package has the threat of killing home-based solar and home-based energy production in Michigan. That's been one of the other issues that I've been watching, along with the type of reliability and economic concerns that Renz brings up, which I can assure you, as you know, recently have been spiking in Ann Arbor, those types of concerns as well.
And yes, that issue has actually been very clearly heard and worried about right here in WEMU's own backyard, because Ypsilanti is known as Solar City in many ways, and a lot of the constituents here have been very vocal about that being a very important piece to retain as we look at our energy future in Michigan.
And do you see that as part of the plan moving forward, to remove or put up a barrier to individual businesses and homeowners investing in solar and making that a part of their personal plan?
No, I wouldn't agree with that perspective. What is in the Senate bill right now is a requirement that if, as an example, you are putting solar on at your home, that you still pay for the distribution that you use. So there is a minimum that you would pay to cover the cost of distribution. To the extent that you are able to produce and sell power back, and it exceeds what you might have to pay one month, you carry that forward to the next. You never lose the value of that. But the facts are that when you hit the evening, when you hit other times, you get days that are cloudy. You're relying on the grid. You're relying on the baseload power that's being generated in order to make that investment. You wouldn't probably make it otherwise, because you don't have the level of reliability that's required unless you add further investments into battery backup or your own generation. So it's just to ensure that others on the system aren't necessarily paying for a service that you ought to pay for yourself, to ensure that you have the level of reliability you want with that technology. We don't think that that necessarily kills the technology or the potential for investments. We think it's fair for all of our customers.
Jeff Irwin, can you live with an energy policy that that includes what he is talking about?
Well, what Renz described is his characterization of what Senate Bill 438 does. The reality for an individual who's looking to invest in solar on their home, who's looking to add to the productive capacity of Michigan and our energy network, they're not going to do that if the price that they get for the power they put back on the grid is 4 or 5 cents a kilowatt hour, and they have to pay 15 cents a kilowatt hour for power. That's just not going to work, and it's not a fair price. What Michigan should do is we should adopt a policy like the bill I've introduced, the fair pricing bill, same as what Minnesota has done and some other states, where you create a price for solar, where you respect the value of solar, not just at the wholesale energy rate, but based on the time value of solar. Solar is often producing when prices are at the peak. Solar is producing energy at the tips of the network, not at the center of the network. That all has value that needs to be priced into what the utilities are willing to pay their consumers who are generating. And if they're not willing to pay that extra value, then they're putting solar in a position where it's not going to be able to compete fairly in the market.
You are listening to 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, and we're talking Michigan energy policy with our First Friday Focus on the Environment panel. In addition to our regular First Friday commentator, Lisa Wozniak of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, we're joined by Ann Arbor State Representative Jeff Irwin and DTE Energy Vice President of Government Affairs, Renz Hoeksema. And, Renz, you were about to add on to what Jeff was just saying?
Yeah, I agree with Jeff that to the extent that you're producing power at peak, that ought to be reflected. I think that is clearly what is permitted under the Senate proposal. Another aspect, and I don't raise this in a sense to be confrontational, it is something that we have to take into account. The costs of these sorts of programs, to the extent that they become a subsidy, are borne by our other customers. We have 500,000 customers who meet the definition of being on poverty. If we're going to get into policies that provide certain subsidies, it can be very regressive to the extent that it's put it through the utility system. So we have to factor some of those aspects in when we look at policy and making sure that people pay their fair share. The investment can still take place. Those that make the investment get a truer sense of the cost of the investment as they make that decision, and they can evaluate other alternatives as well.
And Lisa Wozniak, as you work with other environmental organizations and kind of draft wishful policy for the League of Conservation Voters, I want to shift it to a broader perspective. How would you view the perfect balance to shoot for in the future when it comes to Michigan's energy?
You know, all of what we've been talking about today actually underlying all of it is I think that we're very close to actually a shared vision for what that might be. And that is a vision in which we actually continue and build upon the success of what the 2008 law put in place, where we actually had goals and targets, standards, if you will, that we were aiming for, that we were able to successfully evaluate and actually say, at the end of the day, we've met those goals, both in energy efficiency and in renewable energy. So building upon that, there is a proposal that's out there in the legislature that says we should aim for 20% renewables by 2022. I think that's perfectly achievable within what we know about renewables and where we see the two utilities, the main utilities in the state actually investing. I would also say that Michigan at one point in our past was actually a leader in the environmental sector. And I would very much like to see us get back to that place. Under the guidance and leadership of Governor Milliken, which many of us think was, you know, it was decades ago, and his name and his presence is still very much here in the state of Michigan, but we were leading the country in a variety of ways. We actually authored the Michigan Environmental Protection Act, which then became the baseline for the National Environmental Protection Act. I believe that we're falling behind here in the state of Michigan by not stepping forward in our clean energy sector and actually paving the way for the rest of the country, if not simply the rest of the region, which shares very much the constraints that Michigan and other states in this region have in its reliance on coal. We could be leaders in this. And if we build upon the 2008 laws, I think we can do just that.
Mr. Hoeksema, you feel like you're falling behind?
No, I don't feel like we're falling behind. I think there's more agreement than disagreement. I think there are shared objectives here. I think what we get into at times is a matter of sort of process and what that progress looks like. As an example, through the investments that we've made at our Monroe power plant, it's one of the cleanest power plants in the country. It's a coal-powered power plant, but the emissions in nitrogen oxide, sulfur dioxide, mercury are being knocked down by 90% or more.
There's still that perception that
there is still the perception
clean coal is an oxymoron.
There is that perception. Understand it, but at the same time, you can go to Monroe. And if we have a cold winter, you'll probably see it again this year. A couple of years ago, and we have it every year, but a couple of years ago, we had up to 140 bald eagles literally nesting and roosting for the winter around our power plant. And the image of the bald eagle in a power plant are really things that people may not appreciate. It is a clean facility. Again, it's a coal facility. But here's where I'm going. Those sorts of facilities will be retired. Now, it's a matter of time as to when they go out, but we have a number of coal facilities that we've announced are going to be retired by the time we get to 2023. They will be the backup on baseload will be natural gas fueled. That will bring improvements in environmental performance, although we already are achieving all of the environmental requirements and have made progress. We will see a continued investment in renewable energy. We actually see, and that's why I made the comment earlier when we talk about Washington, D.C. and environmental policy, that if we can get some cohesion, and I think we all want that, that there is a path where we can all work in unison going forward, recognizing that we're striving for environmental progress, reliability when it comes to the operation of the grid, affordability when it comes to what it costs our customers. And the President Obama, when he started his administration 8 years ago, talked about moving towards an 80% reduction in carbon emissions by 2050. That may not be that unrealistic for us to achieve. It's a matter of the pacing and how we move in that direction.
And Jeff Furwin, I want to get back to the idea of balance. As you look into Michigan's energy future, we're operating right now under a concept of all of the above, including coal, natural gas, nuclear, all sorts of generation. How do you see the percentage split up of Michigan's energy future if it were to work at maximum optimal levels?
Well, it kind of depends on how far you want to push the goal line. But I do think that the focus we need to have is every year to make meaningful, tangible progress towards getting our percentage of renewable energy higher and higher and higher. And then we need to push that as far as it can go. There are other countries like Germany that are way ahead of us. And the reason why that's so important is not just because it's healthier and cleaner for our environment and for the humans and the animals who live here, but also because we have a fundamental choice to make. Do we want to continue to invest in coal seams in West Virginia and Wyoming and fracking fields in Alberta? Or do we want to invest in Michigan brains and brawn? Do we want to invest in ourselves and innovation and building things here that can develop a self-sufficient, energy-independent future for Michigan? That's what we really need, because when we do that, not only do we get a healthier environment, but we direct our financial resources back inward to put that money into the hands of Michigan citizens for Michigan's future.
That about the way you see it too, Lisa?
Absolutely. Jeff Irwin has Representative Irwin has captured my thoughts quite succinctly, and I would add, I mean, because I do represent an organization that looks very fundamentally at human health and the environment, that the Washington Post and the New York Times just this week actually noted that scientists have said that we've entered a new era in called the Anthropocene, an era in which there's noted unprecedented impact on our planet by human beings, and it's perhaps it's certainly unprecedented, and it may be irreversible. So while all of the factors that we've been speaking about, costs, reliability, affordability, are of course very, very important, there's also this underlying and critical piece of the puzzle, which is that the choices that we make about our energy future are having a huge impact on the future of our state and our planet.
Well, we've heard that from all three of you, and it does seem as though there is a lot of common ground from which to build. As our time winds down together, I want to ask each of you, what is it going to take to get a policy done that we can all live with and be excited about moving forward to the future? What is that going to look like? John Dingell once said to me, he said, "I've never passed legislation that I love. I've passed legislation I can live with." And is that what we're looking at trying to accomplish here?
I think we are. I think that we can get to a place that we can all live with, knowing that we're actually making these purposeful but incrementally important moves forward on clean, renewable energy and energy efficiency. When I think back to the 2008 law that was passed, Jeff pointed out that there was a bipartisan representation in Lansing. And Patty Burkholz, Senator Patty Burkholz, who now works with the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, was a key part on the Republican side of the fence of actually helping to broker that deal. I don't know if that's possible given the current state of the legislature. I remain hopeful. I know that we work with representatives on both sides of the aisle who see things very much in line with what we've been speaking about today, and making those purposeful but incremental changes that can make a difference on renewables and efficiency. So I remain hopeful. I also know that should this end up in lame duck, it's probably not going to be the best solution to the problem.
And Mr. Irwin, your thoughts on that?
I think everybody realizes that there needs to be some sort of compromise here, and that no one's going to be completely happy with the final product. But, I'll just say publicly here what I've said privately many times to my friends at DTE, which is that I see a compromise here. And if DTE were willing to be on board with a reasonable, even slower progressing renewable portfolio standard, continue with our energy efficiency standards, and leave net metering to grow on its own without trying to squash it, if we can get those three pieces together right, I think we can put that together with all the pieces they need to make their shareholders happy on the economic side, and have a compromise just like we did in 2008 that brings together the needs for price and reliability with the needs for the environment and has the necessary votes. Those votes are there in the Michigan House. They're there in the Michigan Senate. But I think that what's happening right now is that there are folks who are striving for that better solution, a solution that is even more in line with their vision of Michigan's energy future. But I think that compromise is available, and it's one that I'd be eager to be involved in.
And that brings us to you, Mr. Hoeksema. You have the final word today.
Well, thank you. I think that I tend to agree with Congressman Dingell. He's an experienced and wise legislator. I think we will make progress. The conversations are ongoing around legislation. Some of these issues, though, that we've discussed here around continued environmental performance, investments in renewable energy, energy efficiency, other ways in which we achieve some of these objectives don't entirely depend on legislation, however. They are things that we can do without legislation. And a lot of it is going to happen just based on the changes that we're beginning to make and the investments that we're looking at as we transform away from coal to gas and renewable energy. That's the path we're on. If I were to speak to young people today, I'd say get into the energy sector. It is going to be thrilling, exciting. It'll provide you with a career because not just here in Michigan but around the country and also to Lisa's comment globally, both energy and its relationship to the environment and our overall well-being are going to be critical issues for us to tackle and resolve. And I think it would provide an exciting place. I think we're going to find more agreement, whether we find it actually in statute, maybe, maybe not. But I don't think that stops the process of looking at how we work constructively together to achieve some of the goals that we share moving forward.
I'd like to thank all of you for your time today and for the conversation.
Thank you, David.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
You've been listening to WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. Our regular commentator and panelist is Michigan League of Conservation Voters Executive Director Lisa Wozniak. Our guests today were DTE Energy's Vice President of Government Affairs, Renz Hoeksema, and Ann Arbor State Representative Jeff Irwin. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU.